You want paranormal entertainment? You'd think you deserve paranormal entertainment? Well, then you've come to the right place because tonight is all about paranormal entertainment, super volcanoes, and a vampire attack. And what do deathbed visitations really mean? That's on Slate for tonight. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. You're tuned into the very best in paranormal programming, and this is the Paranormal 60 News. Hello, my little darklings. Welcome to the program. I know I promised tonight that I would share my EVP and some of the evidence that we captured from the Palmer House this past weekend, but I decided to hold off on that. Why, you may ask? Why is that, Dave? Thanks for asking. It's because I'm going to the Palmer House again tomorrow, Thursday. I'm heading there with Dalen Spratt as we shift the paranormal. We're going to be shifting all over the paranormal this entire weekend at the Palmer House. And I figured I'll just collect a bunch of new experiences and evidence, and we will share it all next week on the program. That way we've got a bunch of cool evidence and we can just deal with it right then. Had such a great time at the Palmer House. And for all of you that came out to see me and hang out, we had a great time. Thank you for doing that and being a part of it. But I'd like to take a minute before we begin the show officially to bring to your attention somebody in the paranormal field who I just don't feel gets enough recognition. And she has been on TV for years doing shows like Portals to Hell and quite a few of the Jack Osborne specials. She's also been on Ghosts of Morgan City and Ghost Town Terror. She was my guest of honor this weekend at the Palmer House Hotel. It's psychic medium Sarah Lemos, and she is an absolute delight. If you've never had a chance to meet Sarah, I'd recommend you do. She connected with people in a way that I really felt touched that I wanted to share. As I watched her interact with our entire audience of people, and there were 50 people in attendance at this event, she lights up a room. She really got people involved in the events, having fun, and she's an amazing teacher. She was really reaching people with her skills and showing them their innate abilities and how to reach in and unveil those, bring them forward. And she did it in such a kind and loving way. I wanted to just take a moment for an appreciation and talk about Sarah. So please, if you have not seen her, you're not familiar with her, if you're looking for a reading, because people are constantly reaching out to me saying, Dave, who do you trust? Sarah is definitely in that top category for me now. While we were driving back from the Palmer, she said, do you mind if I read for you? Your mom's coming through. And over the years since my mom's passed, I've had many mediums reach out to me, many of them my friends that knew my mom and knew them very well. And I've always felt kind of icky about it. I'm like, no, because I want to believe. And you knew my mom so well that I would have a hard time knowing if you're really giving me a message or you're just trying to give me the encouragement you think I need. And Sarah, unprovoked and never met my mom. I wish she would have. They would have loved each other. My mom passed away almost 8 years ago already. It's been that long and that fast. But Sarah began to connect me with my mom in a way that was very unbelievable. And it was very touching. She really helped me feel connected to my mom again and realize the connection that my mom and my aunt share are still very real and very strong. So it was a great drive we had, and I felt gifted to have been given her insights and communication. And for the first time since my mom passed, I really felt like my mom was there and with me. So please check out Medium Sarah Lemos. And the screen's got it on there, mediumsarahlemos.com. And I'm going to put the link for her on our website as well. Book a reading with her. I guarantee you're going to absolutely love her. You'll fall in love with the work that she does. And she's just one of those people I think really deserves to get a little bit more attention in this field than she does. And she is just such a sweetheart of a person. So please, if you're looking to make that connection, consider Sarah. All right, let's get started, shall we? Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now all the way from the great state of Hawaii, he is America's last hero that was willing to join us on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, the Colonel is here. Hey, Colonel, how you doing? Hey,
Dave, happy Wednesday. How you doing there?
Doing well. Thanks a lot for joining us, sir. Taking a little time out of your busy day to relax with friends and be here. Let's bring on now, ladies and gentlemen, the paranormal detective, Greg Lawson. Not here. He hasn't shown up. He's running late. I don't know, whatever. He's supposed to be here. So hopefully he'll show up at some point during the show. But ladies and gentlemen, the tried and true warrior, the backbone of the show, as I've called her on the show in the past, is here. She has not missed a beat since we've added her to this show. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Swizzle Tea, Sweet Tea is here. Hi, Sweet Tea.
That is the nicest intro you've ever given me.
Well, Sarah Lemos really kind of opened my heart and soul this weekend, and I just feel like sharing that radiant sunshine with everybody that I come in contact with. Okay. Except for Greg, he's dumb.
Yeah, because
he's not here. As soon as he's here, I'll be very nice to him, I promise. But until then, let's mock him and mock him mercilessly.
We can do that when he gets here, right?
I'm so bummed. There was an opportunity for me to see an early screening of the new movie, Sasquatch Sunset. Have you guys heard of this movie? It's Jesse Eisenberg's new film.
No.
Yeah, I had a chance to see it. They sent me the trailer or the screener for it. However, I have been so busy on the road and doing stuff that I never got a chance to actually sit down and watch the movie. But I'm reading about it. I'm hearing things about it, and I'm getting strange feelings from this because, like, half the audience absolutely thinks this is an astounding movie. The other half, I'll get to that in just a second. So the film opens up nationwide April 19th, and these are the headlines that are blazing right now. Jesse Eisenberg's new movie, Sasquatch Sunset, is so gross, people are walking out. So hold on to your popcorn, folks, because Jesse Eisenberg's latest flick, Sasquatch Sunset, is causing quite the stir, and not necessarily in the way you'd hope. This hairy tale of Sasquatches and their shenanigans has left some moviegoers so grossed out, they've hit the exits midway through. Now, before you rush to grab your tickets, let's break it down. Mm-hmm. Sasquatch Sunset isn't your typical walk in the cinematic park. Sure, it's got Jesse Eisenberg along with Riley Keough. And yeah, let's take one of the top most beautiful women out there in the world, Elvis's granddaughter, and let's just wrap her up in a Bigfoot costume so we can't even tell it's her. That seems like an interesting and progressive step. So he's got Riley Keough, Christopher Zajic Denick, and Nathan Zellner all playing a family of Sasquatch living their best hairy lives. But the kicker is that there's not a single word of dialogue in this entire 90-minute movie. And speaking of wild rides, you brace yourself for a tsunami of gross-out moments. We're talking bodily functions galore, folks. According to the reports, these moments hit you like a freight train, relentless and, well, pretty much gross is what the article is saying. So why the shock, you might wonder? Eisenberg himself has a theory. Whenever you make something unusual, it's going to turn people off, he says. There are so many movies made for people who like typical things. This movie is not that. But hey, making a movie about farting Sasquatches isn't exactly a walk in the park when it comes to funding. Eisenberg acknowledges the risk, admitting the financiers might raise an eyebrow or two at the prospect. But for those in the creative trenches, this hairy endeavor is pure gold, a blend of brilliance, humor, and heart. Despite the raised eyebrows and raised nostrils, Eisenberg and his crew poured their hearts and souls into Sasquatch Sunset. It was a labor of love for every single person who was involved, he proudly declares. So whether you're in it for the hairy shenanigans or just curious to see what all the fuss is about, Sasquatch Sunset promises to be a wild, albeit gross, cinematic experience. So buckle up, folks. It's going to be a hairy ride. I think from the trailer I've seen, it looks fascinating. It looks fun. And coming off of movies like Something About Mary, Dumb and Dumber, just that whole gross out. Off.
How many years ago was that?
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. You know, we come off of movies like that that were total gross out movies that always had like one more gross moment after another. This, you know, to get the humor of it and no dialogue, I think we're leaning into old time Buster Keaton fart jokes. Who doesn't love a good Buster Keaton fart joke?
Good point. Yeah.
Do you? I thought I knew, but what? No, nothing. Colonel? That's it. It's a live show, sweet tea. So talking helps.
Oh, I was waiting for the Colonel to say something. I thought he was.
I'm just kind of mesmerized by the communication between you two. So I'm
just listening in. It reminds me of a movie that I never want to see again, called Caveman with Ringo Starr. And
I don't think we're going to be friends here anymore.
I don't think I was born. Yeah. Mm, ow.
Yeah. That's where he met his wife, Barbara Bach. It's a delightful movie. Mm. How could you not like Caveman? Zug, zug. Huh?
Ringo Starr in it, man. Come on.
Yeah. Ringo is a lovable, crazy little caveman.
Yeah. Listen, I'm on fire here. I can't be wrong.
You look like you are. Yeah.
You're glowing. Are you are you truly an alien? Are you the alien from Cocoon, the movie? Why are you suddenly brightening?
Because you're talking? I'm 80 million years old, and that's what you do when you're that age.
Wow.
I did not know that. That is fascinating. Hmm. So, all right, there's one movie. Now, Colonel, I was a little surprised to find that in all of your work out there in Hawaii, you found time to actually go out and see a movie yourself. Am I correct?
Yeah. So, you know, I've been hearing about this, the first Omen.
Right.
And I said, you know, that seems pretty creepy. I think I'll go catch that. And so I went, you know, and it was a surprise to me. I was thinking more along the lines of kind of one of those, jump at you shocker type of movies. But no, it's more like a Rosemary's Baby type of scenario. It kind of comes in with the story plot, and it marries up. It's the prequel to The Omen. So it kind of gives you the whole background as to how the son that Gregory Peck and I can't remember the name of the mother end up adopting.
Right.
Or think they adopted. They didn't know.
Didn't the mother die during birth or something, and they swapped babies in the original? Yeah, I can't remember. It's been so long.
No. So, I mean, this movie actually provides you a lot of the information prior to the first Omen. The mother didn't die. The mother was a nun who they bought them. I don't want to spoil the movie for anyone, but anyways, the mother's a nun, and then the baby ends up being given to Gregory Peck. But they kill, everyone thinks that Gregory, their son dies at birth, but no, they kill the baby and they replace it with this one, who is the Antichrist. So
it's allegedly.
Yeah. I mean, they, you know.
If you've watched the original, those were not like slash and dash horror movies. Those were more psychological thrillers with some creepy elements. For you, yeah. Damien, it's all for you. That's one of Sweet Tea's favorite lines.
Yeah.
I like the original Omen trilogy, the original Omen trilogy. I thought it was a great series.
Yeah. And, you know, it was my bad because I hadn't seen the Omen for like 10, 15 years. And so I forgot how, you know, how the actual pace of the movie went. A lot of the similar type of pace, a lot of good storyline. It just, if you're going for a, you know, a jump at you type of movie, it's not that, you know, it's more like a Rosemary's Baby type of, it builds up on the storyline until at the very last, it really gets pretty crazy.
Yeah. Now my daughter went out to see that movie. Mm-hmm. She said it was okay. She said it was decent.
Right.
But pardon me, she also said she just went and saw the movie Immaculate.
Mm-hmm.
And she said this movie mirrors Immaculate. I guess it's a nun. Satanic worship, nun, pregnancy, weird story, the devil. So she said it's very similar in tone and vibe to Immaculate. So,
yeah, I mean, the previews seem a lot alike. I haven't seen Immaculate, but
they seemed almost identical, the previews.
Yeah, yeah. So,
So on a scale of 1 to 5 phantoms here, Colonel, 1, it sucked, 5 is perfect. Where would you put this movie?
I would say a three. I would say a 3. I didn't feel like I got ripped off. It's just, again, if you're wanting to go for that suspenseful type of thriller horror, it'll hit the mark.
Question.
Why don't we do go ahead.
You're going in for the suspense, you're going in for the thrill, you're going in for that. Is it better going in knowing it's not going to be a slasher?
I probably wouldn't have gone because I was really looking for something that, you know, throw my popcorn in the air, you know, look behind your shoulders.
You can do that at any point. You don't have to wait for a scare.
I know. You can do that at a romance.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
It's Turtle sitting there. Throw popcorn over his shoulder. Well, let's do this. Let's give the audience a chance to see the trailer for this, and we'll all kind of look at it and weigh into it together. Let me see if I can get this all set up for you. All right. Hold tight. Here we go.
You don't have to be afraid. God has great plans for you. This child is his way.
There's this girl at the orphanage. I think that she really needs someone to look out for her.
Carlito suffers from a touch of madness.
You must be very careful, Margaret. Bad things will start to happen around her. Evil things.
It's all for you. No, don't. What does any of this have to do with Carlito?
His church has maintained power for thousands of years. It will stop at nothing to keep it that way. How you control people who no longer believe? You create something to fear. I believe the girl is to be the mother.
Mother of what?
It's the mark of the devil.
It's not real. That's not real.
Who said that?
This is very real.
Now, Colonel, that looks kind of jumpy. It looks like it's got a couple of spooky, scary points.
You know, when they combine it and they throw it at you, you know, every 4 seconds, you know, but it's a good movie. I mean, it's I think it's the plot was really good, because the next day I saw The Omen, the original Omen, and I wanted to kind of fit everything together, which it had really good connectivity. Had, you know, you could see where the first Omen was addressing some of the issues that The Omen was not really expanding on too much. So
I gotcha. So it's a good prequel for what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Considering definitely. They are trying to live up to a legendary film. Now, I think they remade that movie in like 2016 or
the
something.
Omen, yeah, I think.
And I remember seeing it, and I was like, I don't even know why you remade this movie. The original, and I think it's simply because they're trying to date it. They want to give you a more contemporary view of this movie, which isn't a bad concept, because when you look at it, you can watch movies from the 90s to today, and people kind of are all wearing the same hairstyles and fashion. So 30, 40 years later, we still look the same, so it feels like we own it. The 70s were not kind to film. But, you know, I think it was it Lee Remick and George, or I'm not George Clooney,
Gregory Peck,
Gregory Peck and Lee Remick and some other great actors and actresses were in it. Good series. And then, of course, you've got Sam Neill plays the adult Damien. So it's a political thriller, kind of building up to that political thriller. They did a fourth movie that was kind of about Damien's daughter.
Wow. And all the way.
Yeah. And that one didn't do much for me, but Sam Neill was so good as an adult Damien, and all of the little bits in there were just such a great little flick. So I love the original series, and I'll go see this one though. Or is this one that you need to see it on a big screen, or you can wait till it's on stream at home?
I think you can wait. Yeah. It wasn't a situation. I mean, there were some really good scenes, like, you know, of Rome, and they had some really good, you know, panoramic, you know, scenes that probably you get a better effect in the big screen. But overall, I don't think you're going to miss anything if you wait for home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's some more big movie news that came out this week. I don't know if you guys saw this from Screen Rant. A brand new take on the Blair Witch is coming from Jason Blum and the Blumhouse for Lionsgate. So this news was just released. Hold on to your flashlights, horror fans, because the Blair Witch is back. That's right. After sending shutters down our spines back in 1999. Can you believe that? 1999. Mm-hmm. The Blair Witch franchise is getting a fresh new installment courtesy of a partnership between Lionsgate and the horror maestros over at Blumhouse. Now, if you're scratching your head, wondering, like I am, how they're going to top the original spine-chilling found footage style, you're not alone, friends, because the Blair Witch Project set the standard for that eerie authenticity following film students lost in the Maryland woods. And while the details are still under wraps, we do know one thing. This new movie promises a new take on the spine-tingling saga. Of course, that's their new propaganda for it. But hold your breath. Will it stick to the found footage formula or take a more traditional approach? And that's kind of the burning question that everybody's going to want to know about. Let's rewind a bit, though. Back in 1999, I still can't believe it's been that long, the Blair Witch Project wasn't just a movie. It was a cultural phenomena made on a shoestring budget of $750,000. It scared up 248.6 million at the box office, making it one of the most profitable indie films of all time. Its success paved the way for a slew of those found footage flicks, including the mega hit Paranormal Activity, which earned nearly 200 million on a budget smaller than your monthly grocery bill. And who's been lurking in the shadows, ready to pounce on horror gold? None other than Blumhouse, the masters of the macabre behind Paranormal Activity and a slew of other scream-worthy hits. While they're dabbling in everything from freaky and creepy dolls to haunted houses, the Blair Witch franchise offers a chance to return to their roots, delivering thrills on a shoestring budget. So as we eagerly await the next chapter of the Blair Witch lore. One thing's for sure, the woods are alive with terror and Blumhouse is leading the way. Prepare to be scared senseless because the Blair Witch is back and she's ready to haunt your dreams once again.
Yeah. Can we talk about how great the marketing was for that first one?
Oh, yes. Now, here was the whole thing. I remember the viral marketing. It was talking about you go to this website. They talked about it. They treated it and played us like a fiddle. They made you believe that this movie was real, based on real footage, a real story. They had the
person's posters.
Yeah.
And documentary. Did you see the documentary?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
And the three main actors were kept off the grid during all of this.
Right.
Yep.
Until the movie's release. And I remember I went by myself because nobody wanted to go. So I went to this movie because I'd been following it on AOL and following the websites. In 99, that's really kind of the beginning of the internet, really, the main hype. And they had me hook, line, and sinker. I'm like, this is crazy. But I found out one valuable, harsh lesson that they really leaned into at that time. When I went to see the movie, I had never seen a found footage shaky cam movie before.
Right.
Three quarters of the way in, I'm sweating profusely. My stomach is rolling. Yeah. I feel like I'm sick. I just feel so sick. Yeah. And I'm like, is this movie affecting me? Is there something paranormal attached to this movie? Not realizing that the shaky footage is tricking your brain into believing you've been poisoned. Did you know that? It actually screws with you. Yeah, because of the motion and you're not moving, it tricks your brain into thinking you've been poisoned. That's why you start sweating, and that's why you start feeling nauseous, because your body wants to purge. So I got through like three quarters of the movie and I ran out of the theater and vomited violently.
Oh my God.
I came back in for the last scene when they went down in the basement. And so for those of you that haven't seen it in 25 years, I won't ruin the ending, but that movie, I was so freaked out afterwards because I was like, holy crap, is there something evil about this movie? I'd never had a movie physically impact me. And it was like, once I left, I felt fine. But it was while I was in that theater, I really thought something negative was influencing me.
Yeah. I didn't feel sick to that point, but I had huge, long conversations about this movie before seeing it with someone who is really into movies. And he was like, I have no idea. I think this is real. I think this is a documentary.
Yeah.
And I left the theater and I got on the bus to go home and I just bawled. That last scene, I was just like, and oh my God, it's so traumatic.
Yeah,
and it's all fake.
Well, you know, thing like what happened to Sweet Tea. I saw the movie and I'm like, is this real? Was it what? And then I said, you know, I don't know. So I was talking to my little brother, and my little brother's like, man, dude, I think this is real. And I'm like, I don't know, man. So then, just about the point where I was convincing myself that it wasn't real, they come out with this documentary. Did you guys see it? It was a fake documentary about how they're interviewing people from the town, and the people were like, yeah, I talked to these guys, but I don't know where they're at. And so I'm like, man, this stuff is real. And and then they go on the red carpet and blows everything after that.
So this. So again, put yourselves back, friends. We're going to ask you to time travel with us. Put yourself back into the mindset of 1999 when we were a younger, more impressionable situation. When we weren't as jaded as we are today, we weren't over influenced by social media and just the gore of our real world. And we were hit with this.
This is my home, which I am leaving the comforts of for the weekend to explore the Blair Witch.
I can see you.
I'm real excited about this. Thank you for
the
opportunity.
I'm very glad.
This area's been haunted by that old woman for years.
I don't know why you have to have every conversation on video.
Because we're making a documentary.
Not about us getting lost. We're making a documentary about a witch.
I don't.
Lost? Admit that first.
No, I know we're not lost.
They're all over the place.
But how do we know it was people?
Well, even if it wasn't, I'm not going to play with that either.
And it's all because of me that we're here now. Hungry. And cold. And hunted. I just want to apologize to Mike's mom and Josh's mom and my mom.
Tell me where you are, Josh!
That mute. Look at this, ladies and gentlemen. The Paranormal Detective is here. That movie did something so well in the fact that it was all about playing with your imagination. You never once get to see the scary things, or you just are hearing it. You're experiencing it, and it's like you're in the tent with them. You're on the trail with them. It was so impactful and bizarre. So that was kind of an impromptu. Upon further review, Greg, welcome to the show. Did you see the original Blair Witch movie when it came out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Great. Thank you. No, what did you think of it? How did it impact you when it came out?
No, you know, when it first came out, I was so, I wanted so badly for it to be real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How sad for us that we were all really disappointed that three people didn't disappear and die possibly in the woods. Oh. What kind of animals are we?
We're the worst.
Yeah,
you know, I rewatched it with my son in COVID when we were all bored and doing nothing, and it doesn't hold up when you don't have the fear of maybe it's real.
Yeah. What were you saying there, Gregory?
She has a son?
Yes. Yes. His name is Damien, and anything for you, Damien. She's doing it for you. Yeah. So go on. So how did it impact? You wanted it to be real.
Yeah, I did, you know, so I kind of bought into it there for a half second that's what was going on. Oh my God, this is incredible, you know? And of course it slowly unraveled in the next few weeks after all that hype and all that. But the booger in her nose was freaking fantastic.
That was so realistic. I felt like we were really looking at a booger in her nose.
Yeah, it was CGI.
All right, let me cover this follow-up story as we go along here, because this is where it gets interesting. The original Blair Witch team is weighing in, and they feel like they've been left in the dark regarding this new reboot. Looks like there's some witchy business brewing in Hollywood. The original creators behind the spine-chilling 1999 hit The Blair Witch Project are feeling a bit left out of the cauldron as news of a reboot has surfaced. Ben Rock, the production designer of the original film, expressed his bittersweet feelings upon learning about this newest installment, revealing that it isn't the first time the OG team has been snubbed. Neither the co-directors nor the production crew were involved in the 2000 sequel, which sucked, or the 2016 follow-up, let alone the latest reboot announced by Blumhouse and Lionsgate. Rock highlighted the disconnect between the studio and the creators since the first film's runaway success, emphasizing the importance of involving the original minds behind the magic. His sentiments were echoed by co-producer Mike Minello and even one of the original cast members, Joshua Leonard, who took to Instagram to express his frustration. But let's rewind a bit. The Blair Witch Project wasn't just a movie, as we said. It was a cultural phenomena premiering at Sundance in 1999, quickly became a summer blockbuster, setting new standards for horror with the found footage films. Now, as whispers of a reboot echo through the Hollywood Hills, the original team can't help but feel a little miffed. After all, they poured their heart and souls into crafting the spine-chilling tale that still haunts us today. So will this new incarnation of Blair Witch capture the same lightning in a bottle? Only time will tell. But one thing's for sure, the original creators are hoping whoever takes the reins will handle their baby with the care it deserves. As the witches say, let's hope for a little bit more magic and a lot less disrespect in Hollywood. I think it's kind of a bummer that they're not involving them. It would be an interesting element to maybe have found the one guy that was left over in the original movie and kind of follow him going back to see if he's come to terms with things. Let's go back and see if we can find out what happened to Heather and Mike. That would be a fun version, but you're right. That one element that's missing is kind of like what was missing in the X-Files reboots is when the X-Files came out, it was fresh. It was new. People investigating claims of the paranormal. Now it's on our TV every day on a different channel. And
well, you know, Dave, do you think you know how Paranormal Activity took that concept and took that step? So do you think there's still somewhere that something left in the found footage area that they could actually bring it up a step?
Well, I'll tell you what, they did bring it up a step and they drew me in with another movie that was called The Fourth Kind. And the marketing behind it was amazing. Do you remember The Fourth Kind, Greg?
I do.
I don't.
Okay, so, and you being a UFO guy, I thought you would have seen it. So when they release this, and again, they hook, line, and sinkered me because I was hosting my old radio show. The network reaches out to me, the movie company, they're like, we'd like you to come see this movie. It's based on a real case. And what they've done is they've interspersed actual footage from the real case. So of course we have actors and actresses playing these roles, and they did these really elaborate setups, like where the psychiatrist is talking to the person and he sets up a video camera and he's watching the screen, and in front of it is Sweet Tea, the actress, and on the screen is the real person who is going through it. And it was so amazingly done that I'm buying in.
Yeah.
And the movie wasn't the shaky cam, which I really appreciated as a found footage. They incorporated the found footage in a unique way. They sold me, and it was all about Alaska, all of these strange disappearances, and they were using real police footage from the cars and all these things that were happening. And I left that movie freaked out. I went on, ranted and raved about how great it was. And then within a week, they were like, yeah, we got you all. Ha ha ha. It's just a movie. And that really broke my heart, because I was like, that was one of the best movies I'd seen. I wish they didn't have to pull back that veneer. I wish there would have been a way to let it go for like 6 months to a year and let that mystery cook.
Even like the very first part, remember the very first part when the main actress comes on, she says, listen, you know, you can think whatever you want, but man, this thing is for real. And I'm like, you know, this is crazy. So yeah, I really kind of hooked into that movie as well. I thought it was a good.
You would think that it would be better for the movie in general to just let it just pull it along for a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
No, well, they did that for a while, but I think there's also this public outcry that as soon as it hits and everybody starts hearing about this, everybody starts digging into these cases, and they weren't going to find the articles. It was much later. I think it was 2009, 2010. So you could go online and start looking up articles and they weren't going to line up. You can't beat the Blair Witch, because it was before anybody could just go find newspapers.com and find all these original stories.
Good point. Mm-hmm. Very good point.
But I know what you're thinking. Maybe I wouldn't have been so easily fooled if only there was a really good book on how to detect the paranormal. Oh. How about Diaries of a Paranormalist, Encounters That's with it. Death by Greg Lawson. It's a book. I don't know if you guys have read it, but it's a phenomenal book, Diaries of a Paranormalist. And we have a link for Greg and his books on today's program guide. So check that out.
Yeah. Oh, Greg, you're here.
Yeah, Greg Lawson. He's not only retired, he's also a retired author now. So that's pretty exciting stuff.
That's sad. Yeah.
We need to take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got more to discuss, more stories, and another movie trailer coming up associated with a real life tale that just broke this week of a possible vampire cult. Check it out. Yeah. We'll be back with more right after this. My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity that you get. That, wow, how have I been living like this feeling? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for just $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. Wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. The quality that I've received from Mint Mobile is second to none, and I've tried them all. And this is an amazing company to work with that actually cares about their clients and the prices that they charge. So if you're on that fence wondering, should I make the shift? You're going to get great coverage, you're going to get great customer service, and all of the bells and whistles you expect from the bigger brand names. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans and their jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/P60. That's mintmobile.com/P60. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/P60. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to just $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. You know what? You could send me in to face a room full of demons. Send me out there to some long-forgotten civilization to confront the spirits that are angered that we are interloping in their space. I'm cool with that. You know what I'm not so good at? Struggling with my finances. Trying to find time and a way to manage my finances. And at the end of a busy week, the last thing I want to do is spend time budgeting all of my expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions that I don't use anymore. But now, I use Rocket Money, and it does all of that for me. Rocket Money is the personal finance app I've been talking to you about. It finds and cancels all your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending, and it'll help you lower your bills so that you can grow that savings. And I know that's important to you because it sure is important to me. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of all of the expenses. Rocket Money has over 5 million users now. And in total, they've saved about $500 million in canceled subscriptions. And that savings is about $740 a year when using all of the app's features. It's easy. It's simple. Why aren't you taking advantage of it for yourself? Time to take control of your finances. Join your pal, Darkness Dave, and let's do this. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel those unwanted subscriptions. Get control of your finances again by going to rocketmoney.com/P60. That's rocketmoney.com/P60. rocketmoney.com/P60. Make sure that you support the advertisers advertising on this show. There's a link for this on today's program guide.
Are you troubled by strange noises in the middle of the night? Do you experience feelings of dread in your basement or attic? Have you or your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost? Then Haunted Magazine issue 41 might just be for you. In issue 41, we have The Enfield Haunting, an interview with Dave Schrader, Danny Robbins, and lots, lots more. Out now in stores, app stores, and online at bit.ly/hauntedmagazine. Remember, don't be normal, be paranormal.
All right, welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. This is the Paranormal 60 News. Joining me tonight, the Colonel. We've got the paranormal detective himself, Greg Lawson, and all the way from sunny Florida, Sweet Tea.
I mean, I was here before Greg, but okay.
Well, tonight.
Wow. That's it,
you know. I try to give you your own special moment to shine, Sweet Tea. Did you notice the art over her shoulder, Greg?
Yeah. I did.
Yeah. But yeah. Scratch, I mean Sasquatch back there.
It lives in my living room now, as you can tell.
Yeah. Yes.
If there's any way that people can remember me,
we're going to make sure that that is the case. Should we go on? So this is a really weird story that just broke in the news this week, and this is a legitimate story. Although I will tell you, the timing of it is a little suspect. But check this out. We're going to go all the way to Italy for this story. The spooky allure of a haunted house turned deadly for a 22-year-old French woman whose blood-drained body was discovered in an abandoned church in Italy's Isola Valley. What started as a quest for ghosts ended in tragedy, leaving investigators puzzled and the online world reeling. According to police reports, the woman had confided in her family about her plans to search for a haunted house before embarking on her fateful journey from Lyon. It's believed she may have been attempting a TikTok stunt, possibly inspired by a ghost hunting competition circulating on the platform. Dressed in eerie attire, alongside a male companion described as like vampires, the young woman caught the attention of witnesses who remarked on her pallid appearance. Tragically, her exploration led to a gruesome demise, stabbed and drained of blood with gunshot wounds, suggesting a chilling aftermath. As investigators piece together the puzzle, the presence of a mysterious burgundy van near the scene adds an extra layer of intrigue. Was it foul play, a misguided prank, or something much more sinister? Despite the cryptic clues, one thing is clear. A young life was cut short in pursuit of the paranormal. As authorities delve deeper into the investigation, the tragic tale serves as a stark reminder of the dangers lurking in the shadows of social media stunts. In a chilling twist, the search for ghosts led to a ghostly fate for one adventurous soul. As the investigation unfolds, true horrors of this modern-day tragedy will continue to come to light, leaving us to ponder the thin veil between curiosity and catastrophe in the current digital age. So, terrifying, sad story. I'm hoping it's viral marketing. I really am. Because mentioning TikTok, mentioning this thing going on, specifically pointing out the vampiric intentions of it, I don't know. And again, it's the cynical part of me. I'm praying it's not a real story. I'm praying that it's tied into the release of the new movie Abigail, which is only in theaters beginning this April 19th, this Friday. And I don't know if you guys have seen this, but let's take a look at the trailer.
Cut the shit. You're really good at pretending to be a little girl.
Thank you.
Quick question. Who's inside a cage right now?
What do we know about vampires? How do we kill it?
Crucifixes.
Stake through the heart.
Daylight is a big one.
We need to find a way out of here. We split up.
This is just a game to her.
What can I say? I like playing with Liza.
Hello?
I get to see that movie tomorrow in a sneak preview. I'm so excited. I'll do a review of it next week on the show, but that opens up this Friday. Abigail, I'm a vampire fanatic, so I love these kind of movies. But again, I'm hoping in some weird, twisted sense of reality that this story we just read is nothing more than a weird viral marketing stunt to get people hyped up about a vampire movie.
Yeah, because otherwise it's terrible. It's not great.
Pretty brutal. Greg, if you could just calm down a little bit for us so that we can focus on the show.
Keep freezing. It's like,
that'd be perfect. That's great. You look great tonight, by the way, Greg. Your coloring is phenomenal.
Less
you look healthy. Yeah, much less purple. Whatever light you've got is working for you. So congratulations for looking great tonight,
Maybe
buddy.
Maybe it's the retirement. Maybe it's doing you some good, man.
I think I need my computer because I'm running off my iPhone right now.
Oh,
it is your computer then.
Yeah, you want to check those camera settings. I see that we're also having connectivity issues with your vocalization. So, folks, when you see Greg start talking, we have to stop so we can hear him. It's working like a walkie-talkie for us, Greg. While they're talking and you talk, your mouth just moves and nothing's coming out. So I'm just giving you the heads up so that way everybody be aware of that.
I feel like he's moving his mouth. Nothing's
happening. Oh, my God. Hey, have I told you guys about Diaries of a Paranormalist, Encounters with Death, Greg Lawson's book?
What's that?
Amazing. It's a book by Greg Lawson. There's a link for Greg on today's show guide, and you can go click it and check out all of his books. So here's a new story. This isn't really in the weird world of the paranormal, but this is kind of that apocalyptic view of the world. And, you know, everybody's all bubbling about Yellowstone and that we all hope the volcano in Yellowstone doesn't go because that's going to take out a majority of our country, according to the statements and the fact that it's well overdue for a blow. I'll leave that one alone. And the tectonic plates off the coast of like Oregon and Washington off that way, the tectonic plates that are like 15,000 years past due to shift, which they believe will cause tsunamis to come all the way in and take out part of the Pacific Northwest.
Man.
So, yeah. So
I'm glad I'm in Hawaii, man. I'm far away from that situation here in Hawaii. I'm safe.
Yeah, you are. When I went there for my first honeymoon, we had a beautiful resort in Maui. And I open up the curtains in the morning and it's a beautiful morning. And there's smoke billowing and just clouds. And I'm like, oh, shit. I'm on the island the day the volcano is going to blow. Turns out they're burning sugar cane. As a mainlander, I didn't know. It just looked like giant torrents of smoke and flames. It's
running across, screaming tsunami.
Yeah. And I didn't know that they also sacrifice virgins for sugar cane. That was news.
Yeah, everybody knows that. Dang, yeah. Come on.
So check this out. This is kind of unnerving. This is in the news this week. A super volcano is stirring in California. Are they on the brink of catastrophe? As if they don't have enough to worry about with earthquakes and all the rest of the shenanigans. Beneath the picturesque landscapes of California lies a sleeping giant, the Long Valley Caldera, a super volcano with the potential to wreak havoc on a catastrophic scale. As fears mount over its ominous rumblings, scientists and residents alike are grappling with the unsettling possibility of an apocalyptic eruption.
What was that word?
Apocalyptic eruption. Have a drink, everybody. I think we all deserve a drink for that one. The apocalyptic.
Is that Hawaiian originally? What's that word?
It's aloe vera. Aloe vera juice. I've been having stomach issues. I've been told aloe vera is good for that. Anyway, let's go. In a chilling revelation, scientist Rob Nelson highlighted the alarming signs of potential volcanic unrest, labeling the supervolcano an Let's get another sip going. I'm just drinking aloe water and I'm having trouble. Words is hard. I'm trying to say the word existential.
Dude,
it's a rough run. It's a rough one.
Oh, look at
regardless
you.
Regardless of how you've seen it.
Have a drink.
Get up there. Sweet tea.
Struggling it. Yeah. All right. Let's see if I can get through this. All right. Labeling the supervolcano an existential threat to the millions living in its shadow. The 1970s saw a surge in seismic activity coupled with ground level fluctuations indicative of magma buildup, sending shockwaves through the research community. Remote sensing technology has further unveiled unsettling truths about the caldera's subterranean landscape. Geophysicist Jared Peacock's discovery of a resurgent dome near Mammoth Lakes sheds light on the ominous potential lurking beneath the surface. Yet amid the palpable unease, holy God, who wrote this article? Did he
seriously?
The big words?
Get out of here.
Yet amid the palpable unease, there's a glimmer of hope. Tests reveal scattered magma beneath the dome, diminishing the likelihood of an immediate catastrophic event. Nonetheless, authorities are not taking chances, drafting comprehensive evacuation plans reminiscent of Italy's proactive measures following the seismic activity near Campi Flegrei. Californians brace themselves for the unthinkable. The specter of a supervolcano eruption looms large, underscoring the fragile balance between nature's beauty and its devastating power. In the face of uncertainty, vigilance and the preparedness remain the ultimate defense against nature's fury.
Wow.
Yeah, a supervolcano getting ready. Look at this. Oh, that looks like a bad idea. Who thought... you know what? They've got some killer property right outside this giant dormant volcano.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
I think I'll buy it.
Yeah. And now it's probably millions of dollars. What was that, Greg?
Location, location, location.
Unbelievable. I wouldn't do it. Wouldn't do it. Great deal. Not going to go. I don't know. I've often wondered what would happen if... I don't want to put it out to the universe. I'm not going to say it. Oh, God willing, nothing happens for another trillion years and we're all okay. And all the volcanoes are just slumbering and have gone dormant
forever.
I don't know. Or Godzilla shows up and sits on the volcano and keeps it from blowing. Yeah,
that could always happen.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how it works. But
Superman could blow cold breath on it, which never made sense to me because breath is hot. So why is he all like Frosty.
He's an alien. He's Mentos.
Do, 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 ah. I like
that.
Yeah.
Hmm. I don't know. We've been seeing maps from people who, whatever, and they have been.
That was an interesting non sentence.
And they've been telling us that California, the whole West Coast, is going to be gone by now. It should be gone by now. So,
back in the 70s, we were saying that nonsensical.
How about this? What if we just, what if we collect and move you there so you could be our Johnny on the spot? So you can find out and let us know.
I don't want to be that guy who took those photos and then
you're a girl.
The photos.
You're a girl.
You don't want to be a guy.
I don't want to be that gal that took those photos and all survived with the photos. I don't want to be that.
She doesn't want to be that.
You know what? Let me think about it and maybe I'll take you up on that.
Have you seen Pompeii? They have all these people that were like instantly like flash fried, covered in soot. Is that picture of the masturbating guy? Have you seen that? The guy's just like sprawled out with his hand on his junk, and he's just like one giant ash pile. Is that real?
Seriously?
You know you're gonna die. What are you gonna do? That's what you're
gonna
do.
I'm not gonna tug one out. Oh,
I think you might.
I don't think so.
Kind of bored. I got this volcano, but I am a kind of bored here.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like looking at that going, dude, look at that volcano. So hot.
Yeah.
But you guys have seen that picture, right?
Yes.
No.
Is it real? Is it Snopes?
I think it's. Why would they fake that? That's stupid.
I've seen the one that curled up with his dog. I've seen that one.
But right. There's the guy with his dog. There's people running. There's people crawling on the floor. But look it up, folks. It's just he's sprawled out on the floor, one hand behind the head, one hand on the junk, and it's just that's a way to go out, I guess.
Yeah, if you're gonna go out, just like whatever, who cares?
Might as well, yeah. What else?
No one's gonna see me. Oh no, you've got my image in hundreds of years later. Oh crap! You don't know who I am. I don't care.
That's a way to go.
My face burned off. You don't know who I am.
Exactly.
I
wonder,
you know, they say that we haunt in the outfit we were wearing at the time of our death. So this guy just walking around constantly glued to his junk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That was his outfit.
What, Craig?
David Carradine. Sorry, I was just trying to be part of it.
Too soon, Greg. Come on. Greg, we expect better than that.
You're an investigator, please.
Come on.
You do better.
Look better.
From a guy that wrote Diaries of a Paranormalist, Encounters with Death, I wouldn't expect that. But you should maybe add that story of Pompeii in your book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You should.
You could call it Beating the Devil. It's just, you know, yeah. I don't know.
Evil out of me.
Yeah, that could be what he's doing. Who knows? All right, so check this out. There's an interesting concept about time.
It's really
all an illusion. I don't know if you guys know this. Albert? Well, Albert Einstein. What are you drinking tonight, sweetie? What did you make for the show?
No, the question is, what are you
drinking? Don't worry about it. Just check out my Instagram. You'll see.
No, tell us.
Wow. No, I can't. It's a secret.
She has a show.
She's drinking like white wine or something stupid. Very lame. Yeah.
Shut up. You don't know things.
Here we go. According to old Albert Einstein, Albert Einstein, time is an illusion. So hold on to your hats, folks, because we're diving deep into the wibbly wobbly world of time.
Yay. Strapping
as we explore the mind-bending theories behind the illusion that is time, all from the comfort of this show. Picture this. You've got a box of cards, each one a snippet of history, from Queen Victoria's demise to future eclipses. Your mission...
Wait. Each box of cards or each card?
I'm just going to pull you off screen so I can finish this story. We'll come back to you in a second here. Hold on. Sure. Here we go. Picture this. You've got a box of cards, each one a snippet of history, from Queen Victoria's demise to future eclipses. Your mission, arrange them in a way that captures the essence of time itself. Simple, right? Not quite. Enter J.M.E. McTaggart, a man so important that he goes by three first initials, J.M.E. McTaggart, a philosophical wizard with a knack for unraveling the mysteries of time. He presents two options, the B series and the A series. The B series is like a static timeline where events are neatly arranged from past to future. But hold up, that's all about to change. And this lineup just ain't cutting it, according to the article. Next up, the A series, a dynamic dance of past, present, and future. As events shuffle between piles, you can almost feel time ticking away. But here's the kicker. This series relies on time itself to make sense. So this is kind of a cosmic 20 catch 22, guys, if you will. And gal, I brought her back, so we'll allow her to be here.
Yay.
So where does this leave us?
So much insight before you took me out, but that's fine.
Yeah. So where does that leave us? McTaggart throws down the gauntlet, declaring time a mere illusion. But wait, the plot thickens, my friends. Philosophers of all stripes weigh in, from the A theorists to the B theorists, each with their own take on this timeless tale. Some say it's like a one-way street, while others argue that it is more of a scenic route. And let's not forget the wild card, the C theorists, who claim that time's just a fence with no direction at all. As the debate rages on, one thing's for sure, McTaggart's mind-bending musings have sparked a philosophical frenzy, leaving us all pondering the true nature of time. So whether you're a believer in the tick-tock of the clock, or you think there's just a clever sleight of hand, one thing's for certain, the quest to unravel time's enigma is far from over. Stay tuned, because in this cosmic chess match, only time will reveal the ultimate truth. Or will it, if time does not exist? Oh, take a hit off that bong. Where do you stand on this, Greg? I'm curious. Where do you stand on the concept of time and what it actually is and what it means?
Well, we know that there is time, because otherwise everything would happen at once. So,
which is what science is theorizing.
Yeah. I think it depends on where you're viewing time from, on whether or not it's linear or whether or not it's static. So,
like from the Southwest or the Midwest?
Are you running for president? Because that was the most non-answer I've ever had. It all depends.
He's a C theorist.
Yeah. If you're looking at like a loaf of bread,
okay,
and different slices in the loaf of bread, but sliced right across, seems to be okay. That's what it is. But if I'm looking from slice 7 to slice 14 from each corner, I view these lines of time in different perspectives. See?
Nope.
That makes sense.
Nope.
It makes me hungry. I think I'll have a sandwich after this show.
I think that Greg wasted no time now that he's retired smoking medical marijuana. That's what I think.
Cheers.
No.
But no. Listen to this.
Wait. What if C-A-T spells dog? Crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a theory. Time keeps on slipping.
It's a human construct. It's stupid and dumb, and it's not real. It's fine.
Wow, that's a D theory right there.
I've never heard of one.
Is it?
When we talk about time, here's something to say. I have to factor in time when I'm doing navigation. When you use trigonometry, there are time factors.
You lost me.
When you're doing navigation, there are time factors that you have to put in for the variables of set and drift and wind and sea state and speed, all of these things. So
at this point, I'd be asking my teacher for a slip to go to the bathroom.
Amen.
I have
a tummy ache. I need to leave. No, thank you.
When you make noise, he can't be heard. Be quiet for a second. Let him finish.
What's your hole? So if time was not a thing, it would not be required in these mathematical calculations. So it's a thing. Sorry, deal with it. Suck it up.
What I am saying is, it is a thing because we made it a thing here on this stupid planet. That's it. Not a thing.
It'll be your little secret.
You know what is a thing? The Oregon Bigfoot Festival and Beyond is back and bigger than ever. At Oaks Amusement Park, Saturday, June 29th. Meet Bigfoot hunters like Ronnie LeBlanc of Discovery Channel's Expedition Bigfoot, Paranormal Caught on Camera, and paranormal investigators like me, Dave Schrader of the Holzer Files and the Paranormal 60 podcast.
Join us for a day of family fun celebrating Bigfoot, ghosts, UFOs, and everything beyond. You never know what you'll find. Don't miss the Oregon Bigfoot Festival and Beyond, Saturday, June 29th at Oaks Amusement Park. Get tickets today at OregonBigfootFest.com. OregonBigfootFest.com.
The Oregon Bigfoot Festival. Oregon Bigfoot Festival.
Here's something. Here's an interesting element of time. Right, they say that the reason as children that we experience time slower is because we have less experience behind us. And that the older we get, the more experience behind us, the less expectant we are. I don't understand that whole philosophy, but I do know
that I've been in a expectant
time. I don't understand the concept. It's very heady and it sounds smart, but hold on. So, but here is one thing I will tell you that I can tell you: time does bend to our will, and it's happened on numerous occasions. There have been times when I know, God, it's an hour and a half drive to get there. I started 10 minutes late, and I drive and somehow will myself to get there like 5 minutes early. And I don't know how that's happened. It's like gone through a time slip. There's been no electric fog. There's nothing I've driven through, but I can't explain it. And I wasn't speeding. So that's kind of an interesting element. But I also had this moment when I had a car accident once. I had my young son in the seat next to me, and we were driving from my house to drop him off at his house, and we hit an ice patch. Sean Connery. We hit an ice patch, and we began spinning around. And as we're spinning, I remember looking at him, and I go, "Oh, son, I'm sorry." And he goes, "It's okay, Dad." And I said, "No, I think this is going to be bad." And we're talking this slow.
Yeah.
And I go, "I think this is going to be bad. This is heavy traffic." And he goes, "It's okay, Dad. I love you." And we held hands and continued to spin as cars are going past us on the ice. Then I go down into the gully and I'm like, "Thank God, we're just going to end up in a ditch." And then all of a sudden we launch up onto the other side of the highway. But the whole time was maybe 3-4 seconds. Yeah. But we had a full-on conversation. Time was irrelevant. We were so in the moment and aware, acutely aware, that time meant nothing. It was so weird. I still cannot wrap my head around it. The conversation we held was much I'm sorry, can you stop scratching yourself while Dad's on the...
No, I'm right. You guys hear the... And I'm itchy. England.
My dog is... England is... Yeah. So that's weird to me. The whole time construct of watching time warp and be slower at certain points, and then other moments are just over like that. Greg, you had your hand up. Let's go to you for point counterpoint on this. You wanted to try to explain something to me.
So, Dave, out of your 14 children.
11.
You know, when you're.
Give or take.
32.
You've talked to them before about their birth. When they're 5 going on to 6, it takes forever to get their 6th birthday because they want to be this many or they want to be this many. And it takes
speaking from experience.
Right. Well, when you talk to my mother, when she's 92 years old, her birthdays come like this. And the reason that it takes so long from 5 to 6 is that is 1/5 of your entire life that you're measuring this in. When you're 92, it's 1/92nd of your entire life that you're measuring. So by perspective and your own construct, that is why that time gets compressed more and more the older you get. Thank you very much. You can take it
for you. That is a medical marijuana discussion to be had.
I'm sure what you said at the end was very good, but both of these two Gabby Gabbertons wouldn't shut up long enough for us to hear the punchline.
Thank you,
Greg. I didn't. Are you guys hearing everything he says?
Yes.
Because when one of you were talking, his voice goes out. So maybe you only think you heard it because I need to be heard.
And I just assume. I mean, because I know exactly what he's going to say because he's so predictable. I don't know.
Wow.
Predictable. You two kids, I think we're just going to put you on Survivor Island together and we're going to lash you to one another.
Yeah. As long as it's not Naked and Afraid, I'm cool with it.
No,
ooh, that would be an episode.
Hey, did I tell you guys about the book Diaries of a Paranormalist Encounters with Death? It's a book called Diaries of a Paranormalist Encounters with Death, written by paranormal detective Gregory Lawson.
Greg Lawson. I wonder if that's the same guy.
It is. It's that guy right above you, Marty.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Pretty groovy, huh? All right. Our final story for the evening is here. Let's take a look, shall we? Prepare to peer into the mysterious realm where the living meet the departed, because we're diving headfirst into the intriguing world of pre-death visions. So, as we unravel the spine-tingling tales of ghosts, loved ones, and the enigmatic journey into the great beyond, picture this. You're on the brink of bidding farewell to this mortal coil, and suddenly you find yourself face-to-face with departed loved ones. Sounds like something out of a supernatural thriller or your favorite paranormal podcast. Well, according to experts in the field, it's more common than you might think. As the final curtain draws near, many find solace in the company of spectral visitors from beyond the veil. Palliative care professionals, psychologists, and even neuroscientists have documented countless accounts of individuals nearing death who report seeing and conversing with loved ones who've crossed over. But what does it all mean? Is it just a trick of the mind or something more profound? According to the experts like psychiatrist Rebecca Valla, these encounters may serve as a comforting guide, ushering the dying into the next chapter of existence. Yet despite our best efforts to decipher the mysteries of consciousness, the workings of the dying mind remain a tantalizing enigma. Dr. Sam Parnia, the scientist Christoph Koch, shed light on the murky waters of near-death experiences, hinting at the intricate dance between brain activity and the great beyond. But perhaps the true essence of these ethereal encounters lies not in scientific scrutiny, but in the profound sense of peace and connection they bring. As hospital chaplain David Harrison notes, for many, these ghostly visitations offer a beacon of hope and reassurance in the face of mortality. As we navigate the twilight realm between life and death, let us approach these encounters not with fear, but with an open heart and a listening ear. After all, in this journey into the great unknown, sometimes it's the whispers of the departed that will guide us home.
Nice.
I like that. It's an interesting way to go out. I'm comforted by those deathbed visitations. I know people that are death doulas and employees that work at hospice care.
Mm-hmm.
And they say they actually feel more comforted when people have those experiences. And in some cases, they have, you know, monitors in the room so they can see inside the rooms. And when there's nobody there, there's people talk, you know, the patients are talking to somebody. And it's not just like calling out prayer-wise. It's like they're having a full conversation with somebody unseen. So that does bring a lot of comfort. And I know science wants to dismiss it summarily by just saying it's the shutting down of the brain and maybe all the tabs and the file folders are collapsing and you're seeing those things as they're happening. And there's probably some reason to believe that that's taking place. But how do you explain that there are people that have what's called shared deathbed experiences where, you know, as I'm passing away and the three of you are sitting there holding my hand and I start to see a glow and I see my mom coming forward and then you guys see her. That goes beyond just my consciousness. It goes beyond my folding of those open tabs in my brain. So to me, that shows that there's really something else going on. Or do you think that because we're close and in those moments that I'm projecting onto you the things that I'm seeing and experiencing, which in itself is kind of a supernatural encounter as well? Sweet tea, thoughts?
Yeah, no, I feel like that's a fully, regardless of if it's a paranormal or...
Is there a full sentence coming?
Shush, 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 shush.
Wow, wow. Yeah, no, there's, we could, but then there.
But, yeah. And then, but also there's, and also, regardless, shut up. It doesn't matter if it's a fully realized paranormal experience or whatever you want to call it. If there's comfort there, 100%.
Right.
Let them have that and don't like take that away from them.
Yeah.
However, I also want to bring up the fact that there are people that go through experiences on their deathbeds where they see people they have wronged coming back to say, you're in trouble now. You have wronged so many people and done so many terrible things. It's beyond you now. And it goes
In my new book, Theater of the Mind, Tales from the Darkness, there's a story of a near-death experience to Helen back. And it's really a very compelling, terrifying, true story. So, Theater of the Mind, Tales from the Darkness. You can find it on Amazon or on my website at paranormalstudy.com. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. There's a creator who calls it, I don't know, afterlife reparations or something. And it's like people will come and visit you and be like, you basically murdered me, and it's not going to go well for you after you pass. And I'm just letting you know because it makes me feel warm and happy to let you know that it's not going to care for you.
Wow, that is dark. Really? Dark turn there, sweet tea.
Thank you. You're welcome.
I think we might have to change your nickname to Bitter Tea. That was
I like that. No, Bitter I don't. Tea, don't do that.
Greg, as former law enforcement, would you like to know that maybe on their deathbed, people are seeing the victims that they've wronged in their lives coming forward and letting them in on a little insight of what's waiting for them?
I would imagine. I mean, if it happens to go to heaven, why wouldn't it happen on your way to the other place, whatever that other place is? I find it kind of interesting that if you transcend life, go off into this ethereal existence, that you would still hang on to very petty, even if you're wrong very badly. Once you die and you are in this other existence, it seems like to me that you would have a different perspective of, oh, all of that stuff didn't matter. It was just really a fantastic lesson into what I become. And I just can't even imagine if you're going to live for eternity to continue to be bitter about something, even if you were very wrong.
There were a lot of criminals that have said that they've been haunted and terrorized in their jail cells by the ghosts of their victims. And there's quite a few different stories like that that have existed. So it is.
I think if there are a ghost that is still bound, earthly bound, that there's all kinds of tumultuous anger and that sort of thing. So I could see that side of it. If they're an actual ghost and they're still there.
But who's to say that that spirit isn't just like trying to nail in the point of the lesson for that other person? Like, it's not that they're bitter about it. They're just like, listen, you have not been paying attention. I'm trying to nail home that you did some wrong.
Okay. In the near-death experience, NDE.
Yeah, or whatever. Like, it doesn't mean that the spirit is bitter. It just means that they're, like, trying to, like, hammer out.
Right.
They're just trying to get the message through that, listen, you did not do right, and we need you to learn the lesson that that was not right.
Knowing that this person is going to stay on Earth and have the NDE instead of actually pass. And
possibly
then modify their behavior and go, I want to somehow redeem what I did. I like that. I like that.
I don't know that I want redemption. I'm still kind of petty. Somebody did me wrong. I kind of want them to pay for it. I don't want them to go to heaven and be like, oh, I guess I learned and I won't ever do that again.
I mean, I do say that, but I don't want anyone to be sad or wrong. It's fine.
What about you, Colonel? Any last thoughts as we fade into the darkness of another Wednesday night, my friend?
It's only 1:15.
You know, I think about, you know, like these individuals, like, you know, what do you think Hitler was? He committed suicide, so that didn't matter. But like like Hitler that did that type of, that type of terrible harm to the human race.
I don't know. See, then you run into all of these weird, there's just too many belief systems out there, to be honest with you, that kind of screw with me. Cause there's like we write this soul contract. We come back to this life. So that means that all of the Jews in the Holocaust signed on to be like, I wonder what it's like to die at the hands of a maniac. I have a hard time believing that.
It's like, it's not a wonder. It's, let's not get into soul contracts. Cause I got ideas. I know
you're wrong, but that's okay. I just have a hard time with the whole soul contract concept. I don't know. It's a weird, weird.
We'll know at some point. Not right now, I guess.
I mean,
I hope not for a long time.
On the other side. Listen, yep. It's all abstract on the other side. It's like.
How do you know? You're speaking in absolutes. You're insane. You don't know these things.
I do. Can I do that? Shut up. If you're on the other side, you're like, oh, look at that crazy thing that happens. I would like to experience that because I've never experienced that. That's weird. And then you go and you make a contract. And you're like, hey, I want to do that because that seems crazy.
So some guy's up in heaven and he's like, oh, a volcanic explosion.
Yes.
I've never died while masturbating furiously during a volcano. 100%.
Yeah, good point.
You got to give this a shot.
If I was on the other side and never had any idea, yes, sign me up.
You're That's on this crazy. Side and you have no idea. So why would it be any different? Thank exactly. you, everybody. I'm here all week. Hey, let me remind everybody, I've got a cool event coming up at the Hillview Manor, and that is May 11th, 2024. You can find more information at darknessevents.com. There are still some tickets available if you'd like to investigate with me. Hillview Manor is awesome. It is truly one of my favorite haunts, and I would love for you to come out and spend some time. Honestly, you're going to love the place, the history, the hauntings, and the activity that takes place there. Get information at darknessevents.com. Hey guys, thanks for being here and being a part of the show. As always, it's a pleasure and a true honor to work with two of you. And I look forward to the next time we can do this. We should think about doing this more often.
Yeah, what a concept.
I feel bad about this. Yeah.
All right, good night, friends. Take care. And until next time, you've been listening to the very best in paranormal programming. This is the Paranormal 60 News.
And I'm alone. The paranormal 60's on. It's just for paranormal freaks like me, with poltergeist and ghosts and moving UAVs. You miss a word, you do a shot. It starts to snowball and we laugh a lot. It's just like drinking with your TV friends. I'll be passed out before tonight's show ends. Dreaming the aliens are taking me away. I'm gonna wake up for something late on Saturday. It's Wednesday night and I'm alone. The paranormal 60's on. Traitors on. Traitors on. Traitors on. Sweet tea, Hockey and the Colonel and the paranormal. Detective, all we traitors got me and they all will be directed. He's got protective bracelets and some crazy magic tricks. Even Scully cannot save him from the voice of Stevie Nicks. Traitors on. Traitors on. Wednesday night, don't be alone. The paranormal 60's on. Now one day they might even put me on a show. There's a ghost in my mom's basement, man, I live down there, I know. It's Wednesday night, don't be alone. The paranormal 60's on. Strange.